Well, unfortunately, today has been a tough day for me because of my microphone. Is that one working again?
Okay, switch back one more time.
Okay, excuse me, I'm going to get undressed here while we'll try this again.
Yeah, this should work.
Okay, cool.
And
I can talk very loud without it. Now you hear me. Okay. Man alive. Okay, that was the end of the message for the day. One minute, I take back all those nice things I said about the men's chorus now. Man alive. Only momentary? You know, this is, it's just one of those small things. That's all. We'll get through it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together and helping us to realize that little idiosyncrasies happen all the time in life, and we just have to get over it, and we just have to trust in you, and we just have to open our hearts and our minds to your will and our lives as we study your holy word and as we are guided by the Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. John Ahern belongs to Tom Brokaw's greatest generation. John was a company commander in the 7th Tank Battalion in World War II. His group went ashore at Utah Beach on D-Day, the 6th day of June. As they fought their way up the sands, they continued into the interior, and they were going down a road which had hedgerows on either side of the road. He was in the lead. He was in the lead tank, and the other tanks were following him, when all of a sudden, the landmine hit, and his tank was disabled. He got out of the tank, fortunately uninjured, to assess all the damage, to see what had happened, and whether it would curtail their continuing movement inland. There was no way, shape, or form that he was ever going to move that tank. His concern, secondly, was, could the other tanks get around him? And while he was out there assessing all of this, trying to determine what to do, he heard voices on the other side of the hedgerow. And he listened more attentively. He thought, am I right? Are those Americans? And he listened again, and he said, yeah, they're Americans. And you know why he said they were Americans? He said they didn't have any accent. Evidently, he didn't have anybody there from Alabama. They didn't have any accent. I knew they were Americans, he said. He listened. And he found out they were trapped by the minefield itself. They couldn't get out. Many of the soldiers were injured, some critically. And those who were not injured were terrified to move because of the minefield. They couldn't move either way. A decision had to be made. John decided he was going to go into the minefield and bring them out one way or the other. He put a call in to see if the medics could come. He couldn't reach anybody, couldn't get any help from anybody anywhere. So he decided he would go in himself and bring them to safety. He got all of them out. All of them. The most critical, the least injured, and those terrified were all saved. But in the process, he stepped on a mine. He lost his right leg above the knee and almost all of his left foot. The next thing he remembers was being in the hospital. And as he was recovering, someone asked him very pointedly, Why in the world did you do that? Why did you do it? Why did you take such a risk? His response was, I had to try. And the question came back to him again. Well, why in the world did you have to try? Your leg's gone. Your other foot is mangled. He said, you know, when I was standing there trying to figure out what to do, when I heard those voices, the only thing I could think about in that moment was my father. Your father? He said, yeah, my dad. You see, my father was a postman. But wherever he saw someone in need, he would always say, I have to try to help. All through his career, wherever he went on his route, if there was someone in need, he always said, I have to try to help them. I remembered my father, and I had to try. Memorial Day is a time of memory. It's a time to remember. It's a time to lift up gratitude for postmen like John's father. I had to try. Memory is a part of who we are as God's people. We carry memories with us throughout our lives. The great memories of life and the terrifying memories of life, we carry them all. Memories are a part of this day. They're a part of Hebrew Scripture. They're a part of the New Testament. Read it and you'll see that it's just jam-packed with memories. God remembers Noah. God remembers Abraham. And God remembers Rachel. And God always remembers a covenant. A covenant I made with my people, and I'll keep that promise. Perhaps the one thing that we remember most of all in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scripture, is a commandment. That's probably why you're here today. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You're either here today for that reason, or else you couldn't afford gas to go anywhere. And memory is essential to the New Testament as well. There's so many places that call forth our memory. And as I thought about today and Memorial Day, and I was thinking about the Gospels and the New Testament lessons, four things jumped out at me. I just jotted them down, and I'm going to share them with you because they're the first things that came to my mind when I thought about remembering things. At the Last Supper, recall Jesus took a loaf of bread. He gave thanks, and he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you take the bread and break it, I don't care whether you're in church or at a restaurant, whether you're at home with homemade biscuits or you're out on a campground, every time you take the bread and break it, he said, remember me. And then he took the cup after supper and blessed it. He said, the cup is the new covenant. In my blood which is shed for you, and as often as you drink it, remember me until my coming again. Remember. That's the first thing that struck me. The other thing that came to me was remembering Peter's remembrance. He was in the courtyard of the high priest's house. Remember that? He sort of snuck in there. And one of the servant girls said, oh, that's one of Jesus' followers. Oh, I've never seen that man. Oh, yeah, he's one of them. I saw him. No way. I wasn't there at all. Oh, yes, you were. Oh, no, I wasn't. And Jesus painfully remembered something Jesus said to him not too long before that incident. Before the cock crows twice. You will deny me three times. And Peter remembered. Also remember the thief on the cross. Oh, we remember the other one. Hey, if you're really who you say you are, if you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one you say you are, I want you to take yourself down from the cross and take me with you. Would you do that? But we remember the repentant thief who said what? Jesus. Jesus, will you remember me in your kingdom? Will you remember me when you get there? Remember. Recall the Emmaus Road disciples. Of all the disciples, I love them. I would have loved to have been with them and journeyed with them and been with the two disciples and the stranger who journeyed with them to Emmaus. Oh, that must have been some occasion. They made the trip. Didn't know what was going to happen, but this stranger kept tagging along with them, talking about the resurrection, about seeing Jesus, about all kinds of things happening. It was a new day for the world. They couldn't figure out who he was until they did what? Sat down and ate. Why is it? I think they were Methodists. I really do. They sat down and ate dinner, and the breaking of the bread, something miraculous took place. Remembering, they said, after Jesus left the scene, remembering. Didn't our hearts burn while he was talking with us on the road, when he opened scriptures to us? We remembered. That wasn't just a stranger. That was the Lord. You know, beginning in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul has a long discussion about his view of ministry. We're taking just a sidestep here. And he admits to the Corinthians, quoting from the passage, if you look at us, you might miss the brightness. We carry the precious message around in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. The unadorned clay pots. That's how he talked about life, about our bodies, of who we are. Because he was driving at a single point. The body has nothing to do with it. Don't look at me. Look at the gospel I'm giving you. Don't think we're anything. We're nothing. Jesus is everything. And then he goes on to say, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God has never left us. We've been thrown down, but we have not been broken. And he affirms, and I love his statement, Jesus lives. We're not keeping quiet, and we're not giving up. That's pretty cool. Jesus lives, we're not keeping quiet, and we're not giving up. You got that? Then he says, God is making life new, hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good news. The things we see now, here today, are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever. You know, I read the scripture and I postulated it and contemplated it and studied it, and I said, oh yeah, the unseen that he's talking about is eternity that awaits us in God's presence. That's it. The things we can't see now will last forever. It's a part of our journey to be with Christ. But I looked at it again and I said, you know, there's something else there that's really equally important. The things of the early church that they couldn't see, but that they knew were the memories that they had that brought them to where they were at that point in time. Early Christians were driven by memories. The first Christians, driven by memories of being with Jesus. Christians with memories of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Memories given to them by Peter, Paul, and Mary. They were singing back then. Memories from Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the early saints, and Stephen, and all the martyrs. The memories. that guided them and directed them and gave them life and fulfillment and hope. They were there. They were the memories that drove them on into the future. The things that we can't see will last forever. You know as well as I do, our lives are built around memories that we carry with us from the earliest of days to the last of our days. As the body of Christ, our memory can serve us well and as a guide for the future. A little food for thought. As we go back to these four illustrations of memories from the Gospels. When Jesus gathered the disciples for the Last Supper, he said one critical issue in this time of remembrance. He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. This just wasn't a sort of a pleasant subtlety. He said, I want you to do it. There's more to memory than just memory. There's action involved in this. I want you to do it in remembrance of me. Action, to reenact the Passover celebration, to reenact our thanksgiving, to reenact the gift of God's Son into our lives. You don't just subtly talk about it, you do it. Pretty powerful. And what happened to Peter when he was challenged about knowing Jesus? He remembered, you will deny me three times. And then what happened to him after that? He broke down and wept. The story of Peter from that point on is awesome. He became a bulwark in the early church. He acted. He just didn't remember. He did something with it. And the thief on the cross, will you remember me? You know what? In the midst of his agony and his pain, Jesus remembered. And he said, today. Today you're with me in paradise. Jesus acted on the memory of that request. And I love the Emmaus disciples. Their story doesn't end there. Doesn't end when dinner is over. They didn't waste a minute. They were up on their way back to Jerusalem. They went to the 11 and to the other disciples. They had a grand time. It really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him. And I saw him as well. They didn't just remember. They acted upon that memory. On this weekend when we celebrate Memorial Day, our memories can be a wonderful guide for a very proper and important celebration. It really can. We want to remember those who have gone before us, those who've paid ultimate sacrifice, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, that we can be here today, and not to do that be tragic on our part. We want to remember those in service at the present time, giving their lives for our country. They're in uniform and they're out of uniform. They're civil servants and people working in all kinds of fields across this land and across the world to keep us free. And we need to act based on that memory. We need to act on Memorial Day. And not to say it's a wonderful day, it's really cool, I'm glad they did what they did in the past. I really think it's nice. I think we need to find a way to make a contribution ourselves. A contribution we can make individually and collectively to make this world a little better place to live in. I'm tired of hearing complaints about our war, about a world, and about the wars, and about our problems, and about the gas prices. We complain so much. We need to take a deep breath and remember. Remember this day calls us to action. To do something for somebody. It may be so small as what that soldier did long time ago when he remembered his father. He just had to try to help a little bit. And so he helped. He didn't know to do anything else but to act on that memory. We need to act on the memories we have today. The late Samuel Graflin, man, it's a story of a simple person. He lived out his life in a small Midwestern town, and I have to tell you right off the bat, he was a nobody. That's what the author says. A most inconspicuous man with very little education in his youth at all, except the education as a delivery boy in a grocery store. That's it. No other education. He did not have an MD, a BVD, a PhD, or any other kind of doctorate. He had never gone to formal education other than the education he received in the grocery store to be a delivery man. And yet Samuel Graflin says he was easily the town's first citizen. Everybody called him Joe. He said, you know, when he prayed at church or at Sunday school or in any occasion, something happened to people's hearts. Something changed in them just by having him pray for them. Lived in a small house in a back street. And people would turn to him for that intangible something that gave them hope in their lives. Have you ever been in the presence of someone like that? Just that being in their presence, there's something intangible, but when you go away, you just feel a little bit better. This was Joe's story. Samuel says, I shall never forget the morning that Joe died of a fever. The store did little business that day, and there was a hush on the streets. The richest man in town had just ordered a new carriage, and he delivered it to Joe's widow. Said it. The florist denuded the greenhouse of its choicest flowers and banked the little parlor in their home with a spectacular wealth of beauty of all colors, just for Joe. The county undertaker drove 15 miles over the hills to offer his services free to the family. Free? What do you mean free? He said, free because I was a drunkard on these roads. Until one day Joe got a hold of me and told me of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so people came. The old gatekeeper said, I've never seen this many carriages in all my life. He said, I've been doing this for 35 years, but I've never had 1,200 carriages from all over the country to pay homage to one man, as I have seen for Joe. Joe's story is the Memorial Day story. It's the gospel story. It's your story and mine that there is greatness within the reach of each one of us. Greatness, not just life, but greatness to do something spectacular that will change the world in which we live. That's the power of Memorial Day. That's the power of the gospel. And on this weekend, we can remember the past, express our gratitude for the present, but we can also choose to be a positive force in a great nation which needs great. No less a requirement is placed on us as Christian disciples. This is not a religion of the seat. It's a religion of action. We're called to change the world, to remember, to thank, to think, and then to act in a world which desperately needs so much more than a passing memory of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a great day. And you are a great people that have the opportunity to change this church and this community and this world by what you do. In the name of the Father and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen.